Toledo, we're famous for Glass, Art Tatum, Tony Pacos, Jamie Farr, a world-class museum, the Toledo Mud Hens and Walleye, an outstanding zoo and public library system. But who are the people that make our city so great? Welcome to the Soul of the Glass City podcast. I'm your host, Monique. I have another magical person in the studio today, and I just want to introduce everyone to Kim Bueller. How you doing, girl?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
I am so glad to have you, especially considering we are new friends now.
Yes.
Were you born and raised in Toledo, dear?
I was not. No, I'm from Michigan. I was born like at the top of the state, but I grew up and graduated from high school in Fenton, Michigan, which is about an hour and 20 minutes from here.
Oh, so this should be a fun story about how you made it to Toledo. So tell us what schools you went to from little you to high school you.
Well, little me, my family, we moved around a lot. So in Fenton, where I grew up, there were three different elementary schools, and I went to two of them. So I went to State Road Elementary and North Road Elementary. And then I went to Fenton Middle School for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And then I went to Fenton High School, and I graduated in 1984.
What was Fenton like? Because I've never heard of that place.
Yeah, it's a tiny... it doesn't surprise me that you haven't heard of it. It's a bigger town now, but when I grew up, it was very tiny. We had a drive-in movie theater, though, so we were kind of like, you know, the cool kids.
Because you could afford to go?
if you could. We'd, you know, pile as many kids into the trunk of the car as we could and sneak in and, you know, in high school.
That sounds fun.
And now, where that movie was at is like apartments, and that's all gone now. So it's really built up. When I go home, it's like, oh my gosh,
we're almost like a big city. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but it was charming, and you know, everybody knew everybody's business. So it was, you know, you had to behave yourself because there wasn't a lot of crime. So the police didn't have a lot to do except look for, you know, kids misbehaving. So we were all pretty good.
That's cool.
Kids are pretty good at hiding it. and it's just, and my mom was the director of nursing at the nursing home in town. And so she knew, everybody knew her. Yeah, it was a great place to grow up.
It sounds like it was a fun time. Did you stay in that city for college, or did you go to somewhere else, or is that how you ended up in Toledo?
Well, I lived on campus at Oakland University my first year.
And where is that?
That's in Rochester Hills, okay. Michigan, just north. It's a suburb north of Detroit.
Okay.
And then the second year, I lived at home and commuted. And in December of that second year, I ended up answering an ad in the Detroit Free Press that my brother had spotted. My brother, who was 2 years younger than I am. And answered the ad, and it was for a band down here called Touched, and I moved here in December of 1986.
So did you like drop out of college at that time?
I did.
Oh wow. Did. To be in a band.
My mom growing up, she was a singer also, and she put herself through nursing school as a jazz singer. Mm-hmm. And she had been presented with an opportunity like that when she was in her, you know, like she was like 20. Mm-hmm. And she didn't take that opportunity. She stayed in nursing school, and she didn't regret that decision, but she understood why I wanted to follow my dream.
Okay.
And she supported me 100% with that decision. So,
and that's how you got here.
Yeah. Okay. I moved here. I was 20 years old.
Okay. Yeah. I just met you recently, but it seems like we've been running in the same circles for years. That's because you work at one of my favorite charter schools in the city. Can you tell us where you work, like which school that is, and then what you've done there and what you do now?
So I work at Toledo School for the Arts. The school opened in 1999, and I started there in 2000. when I first started working there, I was teaching voice lessons, and then I taught music 101 to 7th and 8th grade students, and we, you know, learned music theory and keyboarding skills, that kind of thing. And it was right after we had won a grant from VH1. Oh my gosh, I forgot the name of the program now. But they provided us with all new keyboards and computers that were attached to the keyboards so the kids could, you know, do work on the computers. It was really advanced for the time. After that, I kind of came and went a few times. I taught, well, first I went to the Toledo Jazz Society, and I was the director there for a few years. And then I taught at UT in the voice department there for a few years. And I always kept my foot in the door at TSA because I really believed in what they were doing. And when I was at the Jazz Society, we would use Toledo School for the Arts students as a large part of our educational outreach with jazz in the schools. Mm. And we used the TSA jazz combos to do that work for us. And they're so well-trained. It's like working with professionals, you know. And then one day I was coming back to TSA because I was teaching at UT and TSA at the same time. And I walked into the building, and the secretary was singing along with the music that was playing, because at TSA, when the classes change, they play music, and it could be Bach, it could be Led Zeppelin, it could be polka music. You just never know what you're going to hear. The secretary was like kind of singing under her breath, and that, I don't know why that day it just caught me, you know, but I thought, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And then I walked further into the building, and the kids were just laughing, and it just was such a joyful place. And I thought, my ego wanted me to say that I was teaching voice at a university level. And I'm very proud of that work that I did. But my heart wanted to be at TSA. And I thought, you know, follow your heart. Do what makes you truly, truly happy. And working with the students there and the staff there, the teachers and all the collaboration that goes on, it just is such a magical place to me. And I wish that I could have gone to school somewhere like that, you know.
A lot of people say that. A lot of people say that I meet, that are, you know, grown-up parent artists, former artists, and then they send their kids there because it's almost like they're living vicariously through their children. So you're not the only one. And maybe your mother was living vicariously through you as well.
Yeah, I think she was. And she, you know, she would follow me all around the country, you know, and come to our gigs and fly out to Hilton Head to see us. And it's funny because when I moved here, the band Touched was run by Dave Gerke, who is now...
It makes so much sense now.
Yeah, he's the development director at TSA.
Yeah.
So in 2017, I was teaching voice still at TSA, and I'd been doing that. I had a lot of students every week, and I had been doing that since 2014. I had come back kind of more full-time. So 2009, I was doing both TSA and UT, and then in 2014, I came back to TSA. And in 2017, a position opened up in the development department, working more closely with Dave, and he's, you know, the first person that I met when I moved here, and he's like my brother. Mm-hmm. And I really believe in his vision and his renegade way of raising funds, which is so outside the box, and I was excited by that. So I came on part-time to work and help them with events and stuff, and now I'm the annual giving manager. So I work really closely with the parents and grandparents, and it's been a great journey.
Well, I could tell you that you have an amazing talent of just bringing people together. But I also was surprised to learn about you being a jazz musician yourself. Can you give us a little sample, please?
Oh, my goodness. Sure. Okay, here's something that's off of my CD that I did in 2014. It's called Pieces of Me, the record is. And my best friend, Ebony Waweru, named it because I was trying to come up with a name for this project, you know, and it's got a lot of different jazz styles on it. And she said, it's like little pieces of you. And I was like, oh, that's it. That's the thing. So anyway, this is Trashman didn't get my trash today. Oh, why? Because they want more pay. Buses on strike want a raise in fare so they can help pollute the air. 'Cause that's what makes the world go round, the ups and downs, the carousels, changing people's heads around. Go underground, young man. People make the world go round.
Woo! Okay, girl. All right. How long have you been a jazz singer? When did you start, like, in your life? Like, even if it was when you were a kid.
Yeah, it was when I was a kid. The story goes, and I don't remember this, but I was 16 months old, sitting in my high chair, and I sang some little jazz ditty. My mom was a jazz singer, so I grew up, music was central in our lives, you know. It still is. When I go to see my mom, who's 82, if an Earth, Wind, and Fire song comes on the radio, it's a dance party, no matter what room we're in. she loves music, and so do I. And yeah, so I started singing around the house with her when I was really little. And then I was 11 years old, and my uncle, who lived in Dayton, Ohio, took us to see this big show band, and they heard that I was a little singer, you know, and they invited me to sing with them. And I got up and sang On the Sunny Side of the Street at 11 years old with this, I can't remember the name of the band, but that was my first taste of applause. And I was like, oh, okay, I like this. And then I followed it. So, you know, my mom, who understood me, still does. But she would take me around, and I would sit in with bands, and, you know, at 14, 15 years old. And then I was in my first, like, professional band where I worked, you know, every weekend at 17. And I had to lie and tell people that I was 18, you know, just to even be able to be in the bars. And, yeah, and then I went to school at Oakland. I studied commercial music there. And then I left and came down here and traveled
and sang. The rest is history.
Mm-hmm. I've been in every kind of band you could ever imagine. My master's degree is half classical and half jazz, so I've done classical music. I've been in a country band.
Didn't you tell me that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I don't know if I told you that or not.
Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah.
Opera something you could do on the spot? I ain't going.
Oh my gosh!
I just had to. There's one little line.
Put the phone away from my face.
One little line.
Okay. Let's see.
Lasciatemi morire. Lasciatemi morire.
Okay. I'm not about to get... I don't even want to have you give me a free concert, but that was beautiful. we might have to, you know, come see you live somewhere. Okay. So I do want to know your favorite jazz musician that you've performed with, or like the most famous person you perform with.
The person that affected me the most is John Hendricks, who's from Toledo. My life has been so blessed, and I often say I'm just the luckiest person that you're ever going to meet, because opportunities land in my lap, and I'm so grateful, and I know where that comes from. And when John came to teach at the University of Toledo, I had just finished my bachelor's degree, because I went back to school when I was 31, because it always bothered me that I had quit college. And so I had just graduated, and they were bringing him in, and they needed someone to be his assistant, teaching assistant. And they called me and said, would you like a free master's degree and we'll pay you a little stipend and you get to hang out with John Hendricks. I just couldn't believe it. And so I got to work with him for 2 years and he became part of my family. Gosh, I feel like I'm going to cry. Goodness sakes. Okay.
You could cry, girl.
And he's passed, and his wife, Judith, who I adored also. But, you know, hearing his stories of working with Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald and Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis and all of the people, you know, all the stories, it felt like you were, you know, in the room with them. And, yeah, so he was the most influential. One time during the jazz festival, he invited me to sing with him and I think Joel Hazard, who's also a local musician, who was one of his assistants after I graduated, and Al Jarreau. And we were going to do Freddie Freeloader because Al Jarreau is on an album with John Hendricks and George Benson and Bobby McFerrin, and they do this version of Freddie Freeloader. And I was going to be singing the Wynton Kelly piano part, and I got bronchitis. And
goodness.
I say I had no voice, it was like no voice at all. And I couldn't do it. So I can't say that I sang with Al Jarreau, but I did get to drive him around on a golf cart and, you know, be in his space.
That
was really a lot
amazing.
Of fun.
So I guess like that could tell me like what you love about Toledo, because you don't get experiences like that everywhere.
No. My gosh. When I moved here, I thought Toledo was the biggest, most sophisticated city in the world. You know, and now I realize it's just a big little town. Mm-hmm. But the thing I love about Toledo is the culture that we have here. There's always so much going on. And if you are bored, that's your own fault, because there's so much going on. There's too much going on sometimes where you have to decide between events what you want to go check out. But
I can attest to that. I can attest to that, because I just, honestly, the reason why we both sound so tired is because we're on the move all the time.
Yes.
So,
well, it was a late night last night.
Yeah. Yes. And what would you like to see for the city's future?
I was thinking about that because we were talking about that, and I love the investment that Toledo is making in the Metro Park systems right now. I think that is a key to our future. One of my extra jobs is I'm also a real estate agent, and so I feel like those big investments into the quality of life here is what is making this market so popular for people who want to retire. I mean, Toledo is a very desirable market right now.
It's a beautiful thing when a city wants to invest in the parks and the agriculture, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess if I would like to see something change, I would like to see more investment in our mental health and our homelessness issues that we have and how intertwined those two things are. I think we have some really good organizations like the ZEP Center who are really doing great work, but I feel like the problem is just so big, you know?
And our kids, I just went to a Girl Scouts speech, and they were saying that the young ladies are, you know, they kind of have been sad and need more mental health services, you know, so that they don't want to hurt themselves or anything like that. So it's really deep and needed, and I'm glad that you brought that up. I really appreciate you coming and sharing your story with us, and we look forward to hearing more jazz and opera from you in the future. Hopefully you can come and sing in a studio session with us.
Great. I'd love to. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for listening. I'm your host and producer, Monique. My executive producer is Chris Piper. Join me next time for another exciting episode of Soul of the Glass City podcast. For more information, if you have questions or comments, go to wgte.org/soul.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.